that it's much more comfortable for many of you over there in the council chamber, especially for those who are standing. But there's no reaction.
Hello and welcome to In Particular,
Tales from the Particle Frontier.
I'm Laura Janti.
And I'm Tova Holmes.
And we're both particle physicists here at CERN.
In this podcast, we'll explore physics and the process of discovering physics at the Large Hadron Collider.
We're coming to you from the ALICE experiment, one of the particle detectors at the LHC.
And in this episode, we're coming to you from a very crowded room on the CERN campus.
What you just heard was the Director General of CERN, Rolf Hoyer, trying unsuccessfully to usher people out to a second auditorium.
But people held their ground on the stairs and uncomfortably lined up along the walls because they either knew or had heard rumors that this year's annual report would be even more interesting than usual.
So what were the rumors that caused the room to fill up hours before the talk started?
A new particle.
A statistical fluke.
Well, one of those, anyway.
Two talks, one from ATLAS and one from our competitor CMS, covered all our newest analyses of the high-energy data we took this year. Though there were about 50 analyses covering measurements of known standard model particles and searches for new ones, two analyses received most of the attention.
These two analyses, one from ATLAS and one from CMS, looked at data from collisions that produce pairs of photons. The two analyses looked at the combined energy of the two photons, something we call the invariant mass, for hints that the photons came from the decay of a previously unknown particle.
Pairs of photons can be produced at any mass, and so if we make a plot of the invariant masses of all of these photon pairs, we expect to see a smooth shape.
So what did we actually see in this year's data?
We saw a small bump sitting on that smooth shape at a mass about six times the Higgs mass, and CMS saw one too. So a new particle, right?
The problem is that smooth is a relative term, and when you don't have enough statistics, a normal probabilistic fluctuation can look like a bump. So until you take enough data to make a clear, statistically significant measurement, the line between run-of-the-mill bump and super fascinating new particle bump is blurry.
In the midst of this uncertainty, we talked to some physicists at the ATLAS holiday party the night before the big announcement to get a sense of what people thought of this soon-to-be-publicized result.
Why don't you tell us first what you know about the gamma-gamma excess?
What can I say? Okay, so I came to this party, and that's where the first time I actually heard about these rumors and what we're going to be hearing about tomorrow, I guess. And because all I've been worrying about is getting the right events to trigger. All I've heard about is that there's some kind of excess in that channel, and we should all be excited.
So we showed her the plot.
Okay, looks very much like the Higgs bump, I guess. Cool. Awesome. So this is what our triggered events produced. So I'm impressed.
Yeah, that's a good bump. It's many wide, and it's nice.
It looked pretty good. This is not my word because I already heard it in a discussion, but this looked better than our Higgs discovery plot. Again, this is not my word. It is exciting. It is exciting, but my advisor warned me so much about getting too excited about this thing. So I try to keep myself down.
Have you seen the gamma-gamma excess that's going to be shown tomorrow?
I have.
And what do you think of it?
It's nice to have something interesting to look at, because if we don't have anything interesting, then it can be a bit disheartening looking forward to the future. But I would also say that It's very easy that it could just be a statistical fluke. And I would also say that this is, as is the case with every time we see a new feature in our data for the first time, it's very hard to believe it until we then have a independent data set to basically ask, do we see it again? So we're not going to believe this, I think, until we have data next year.
Da, da, da. okay. So I think it's very interesting. I think it's interesting that we see a bump like this at this mass with this small amount of data, because I think the general feeling, and one of my first reactions when I heard about this as well, was that we should have probably seen something in run one as well. And I think that's sort of the root of most people's skepticism on this. But of course, theory can explain anything away if you just give it enough scope. So yeah.
So does this look convincing to you when you look at this plot?
I guess the phrase that I would use would be reserved excitement. I think it's very exciting if something like this turns out to be true. And of course, I think that's kind of what everybody is hoping would happen. But, you know, we see bumps all the time and then they go away with more data, and we can't let ourselves get too carried away by things.
So why do you think this bump might be a bigger deal than other bumps that we've seen?
Mostly, I think, because we've heard rumors that CMS sees something similar, which is sort of gives it a bit more credence than just having a random fluctuation.
Why is that?
Well, CMS and Atlas are two completely different experiments. They've built in the same way with a similar purpose, but they're two completely separate experiments. So if there was something that we'd been doing wrong in our result or in our data taking, then we could see something, but CMS should not see something similar. The fact that they might be seeing something similar about the same size and at the same mass kind of gives a good idea that maybe this is something real rather than just a statistical fluctuation.
If this turns out to be something real, how excited will you be?
1,000,007.
So I feel mixed. I am obviously a little bit excited because it's interesting, but I'm also very pragmatic that sometimes these things go away and we have to be careful not to get excited until we have enough data.
Do you think it's real?
I don't know if I can say. I'm...
Gut feeling.
Oh, see, I made a bet that the Higgs was real, so I bet a beer and I won. Well, not won, but, you know, somebody bought me a beer. I would probably bet a beer on this, yeah.
Cool.
So it's definitely clear we have some excitement here, but it's not necessarily clear that we have a particle.
After the announcement, we talked to one of the main people on the analysis to get his expert opinion on the results.
My name is Marco Del Mastro. I work for the CNRS in France, and I do physics with photons.
Marco is one of the main analyzers in this search.
Did you expect to find anything interesting when going into run two?
Well, you always hope, of course, but no, I did not expect, actually. I must say that I was pretty much skeptical. This standard model is working so well that I think we are all formatted in saying, well, we're going to just see tiny deviations that we don't understand, and they will get back when we get more statistics, and we will end up all measuring the property of the Higgs boson. But actually, there are a few intriguing things around. This really popped out at some point. It was really difficult to mistake in this for anything else. I mean, whatever this is, of course.
And was your main reaction then excitement?
Honestly, I was scared like hell that something was going wrong, either in the detector, the calibration, the reconstruction. I mean, we have been spending, I would say, the past months or so just digging into any possible detail. You really don't... I mean, I'm still... kind of skeptical, if you want. I mean, the fact that CMS also sees something else is, of course, extremely reassuring. But on the back of my mind, there's always, I mean, did we really check everything? Is there anything that is generating this thing? So I think we did a quite truthful job, but, you know, There's always this sort of ghost behind you telling you, go and check the electronics of the calorimeter. Go and check whatever.
So do you plan to spend the holiday break looking at the electronics of the calorimeter, or are you going to take a little break?
Just to give you a bit of an idea, I slept 3 hours last night. That has been on the average that I got in the past few weeks, so I need a break.
So are you willing to bet anything that we'll continue to see an excess here in 2016?
No, I'm not going to do that. No, honestly. I mean, we've been going through this process of getting this analysis approved. It's not been easy because, you know, people get extremely skeptical when the significance gets larger than certain values that I will not say because I don't want them to stay on record. And Atlas has been very, very good, I think, in trying to let the data say what the data can say, nothing less than that, but nothing more. And I really support that. I mean, I personally think there is something there. We don't know what this is. It can be a new physics process that we don't understand yet. It can still be some other components of statistical fluctuation. Time will say, and I won't bet on that. But of course, I can tell you that I sincerely hope there is something, not because it's my analysis, but because we're very cool, no? To see something that is not the good old standard model. I think for all of us, it will really shake a bit the discipline, if you want.
So ultimately, no one's really sure whether or not this is a particle. So maybe a good question to ask is, have things like this happened before? And when they have, were they particles? Were they nothing? What's the history like?
My name is Beate Heinemann. I'm a professor at UC Berkeley and a scientist at Lawrence Berkeley Lab, and I'm the deputy spokesperson of the Atlas Collaboration.
So when was the first time in your particle physics career that you saw a significant-looking excess?
Yeah, so I started as a graduate student and was working on an experiment called H1. This was at the DESY laboratory in Germany, where we were colliding electrons and protons in the Hera ring, and the H1 experiment was recording these events. At the end of 1996, in the H1 experiment, we saw something unusual, which was a bit of an excess of events. There were 7 events, and we only expected one of these. And we quantified the probability of this happening as basically being 0.03% at that mass value. But then we look at many mass values, so you need to take that into account, and then the probability is about 1%.
This is an effect we call the look elsewhere effect, which quantifies the fact that if you look in a lot of places, it becomes more likely that one of them will have a small deviation from what you expect.
Okay, so what ended up coming from that?
This was the 94 to 96 data set, and then we took another data set approximately the same size in the following year, 1997, and there we only saw one event and we expected one event, and so we knew then that this must have been only a statistical fluctuation in the early data and not in the later data.
When it first happened, when you guys first saw that 7 events, did people think it was anything?
Right, yeah. So the day we published it, many theoretical papers appeared right away. So there had been rumors in the community, so many theorists expected it.
So when you saw these results personally, this was pretty early in your career. You hadn't seen a lot of these before, any of these before. What did you think when you first saw it?
I thought it was exciting. I was very curious about it, but I guess I don't think that I believed this is true or something. I also didn't believe that it's not true. I think I was just basically, 1% probability is, it just happens. It happens. It happens as often as you just, if you roll 2 dice, that you get 2 sixes. Happens a bit less often than that. It just happens. So I think I was just curious and just was keen to see the next data set to see whether it's real or not.
So can you give us maybe a quick rundown of excesses over the years?
Yeah, so there was another one at about the same time at an experiment I later worked on at the CDF experiment at the Tevatron. An excess was seen in high PT jet production.
That's just a technical way of saying that very energetic quarks and gluons were produced.
And this actually turned out to be due to the theoretical understanding not being well enough. So there, the data haven't changed. This has continued with increasing data sets. So it was not a statistical fluctuation, but it was basically an inaccuracy in the theoretical prediction the data were compared to. It was the state of the art at the time, so there was nothing done wrong in any sense, but the state of the art of the theory calculation at that time was just not good enough. Another one was actually interesting, which was in 2000. This was at the lab experiments at CERN here. There was a hint of maybe the Higgs boson being seen. This was at the time at a mass of 115 GeV. They saw a few more candidate events than were expected. However, that later, with a more detailed analysis, some of these events disappeared. And in the end, now we found out that the Higgs boson was really at 125 rather than 115.
How do these false positives compare in terms of while you're working on it to things that end up being real? Can you perhaps compare to when we discovered the Higgs here?
For me personally, I saw the first time that there might be something interesting in November 2011 when we saw the first plots from the full 2011 data set. And I don't think... So the only difference... I mean, so I thought this might be the Higgs, it might not. I didn't really know. I would say 50-50 chance. The only thing was that, I mean, ever since I entered graduate school, everyone was telling me that, I mean, our mainstream theory said there should be a Higgs, and we had excluded it also pretty much everywhere else. So in that sense, it seemed likely that we really are on to the Higgs boson. But in terms of just looking at the data themselves, this true positive wasn't very different to the false positive, only in the sense that it was a more credible particle to exist than the others.
Of course, we kept taking data, and by summer of 2012, the Higgs bump kept growing and growing, and it became clear that we were looking at a new particle, not a statistical fluctuation.
We asked Beate if she had any favorite credible theory for what this new bump could be.
No, I don't care what it is. I mean, it's really, I don't have favorites. It's just whatever nature does fine with me.
Anything new is exciting.
Anything new is exciting, yeah.
What I find kind of amazing is that everybody we talked to expressed a good deal of healthy skepticism about whether or not this is a real particle. And people really seem to think, well, this could just be a statistical fluctuation. But that auditorium, it was buzzing and it was full. And people did not want to miss being there for this announcement. There was definitely a discrepancy between sort of our position as scientists and you know, being very well aware that this time next year this thing could disappear and will just turn out to be nothing, and our enthusiasm as people to want to be there when the first, you know, hint of this totally new awesome particle was revealed.
Yeah, I'd say it's clear that when you put somebody in front of a microphone, they don't want to claim it's a new particle, but what they're implicitly saying by showing up at the auditorium 2 hours early is they think it might be.
I also think it's amazing that, you know, there were hundreds of incredibly intelligent people in that auditorium, and there was not a single person who could say definitively, yes, this is a new particle, or no, this isn't. And that's not because we don't have the right tools to look at the data or we haven't come up with the right analysis. It's because in this case, what we're doing is a statistical game, and we really, until we collect data, we really cannot say what we're looking at right now.
What would convince me that this is really something real is that if we find in the new data set, so next year we expect to take about 7 times more data than we took this year, 7 or 8 times more data. And so then we will really know very quickly, hopefully already by the summer, whether or not events keep coming at that mass value or not. And what we really expect for a discovery, as I said, so what we currently see, this is at the level of significance basically throwing 2 sixes in a row. what we really need to do is throw 8 6s in a row. Only then we believe we found a new particle. So the threshold for declaring you have a new particle is very, very high. There's only like 20 particles total. So making a new, coming up with a new one and proving that it's there, you have to be damn sure.
To learn more about the process of taking data and why we need to take so much, tune in to our next episode.
Thank you for listening to In Particular. This week, we'd like to thank Danny, Max, Will, Claire, and Clara for talking to us at the Atlas party when they could have been drinking wine.
Thanks also to Atlas Outreach.
This episode was produced by Laura Janti, Larry Lee, and me, Tova Holmes, with the music by Larry as well.
You can reach us on Facebook or on Twitter at Particle Podcast.
And our website is cern.ch/inparticular.
What's your name?
Hi, Kevon.
Larry's going to show you the picture. What do you think of the picture?
That looks good.
Any favorite parts?
Yeah.
Okay, which?
The down one.
Which part? Which color?
The red.
It's a nice fit, right? It's a nice line? Yeah.
Red is my favorite color.
I see. That's a good reason. Do you think the little black things look a lot like the red pattern?
Yeah.
Okay. Anywhere it doesn't look like it?
No.
Okay, got it.